Amen. Good to be in the house of God again. Amen. And to just be able to praise and worship our Lord in the freedom that God so graciously has given us. Right. We live worthy of his call, don't we? Because Christ paid the supreme sacrifice with his life that we might live. And that we can appreciate, we can experience everything that God has to offer in our walk with him. And as Pastor Patricia mentioned, the bulletin this morning, was my turn this week to write it. So I wrote about that being that we live a life worthy of his call. When we fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, we experience the good pleasure that God has given us, living lives touched by his goodness and displaying his goodness when we fulfill the work of faith and power that is within us, believing on Jesus and seeing his work done all around us by faith when the name of our Lord Jesus is glorified in us. Amen. So today I'd just like to speak about the supremacy supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ in our lives. And the Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to express the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, to speak highly of his lordship and just what it means. And so that was very, very precious to the Apostle. And he wrote many letters, we know, to the early churches, just encourage them just about walking in this life, living a life worthy of the calling because of what Jesus has done for us, because of the sacrifice that he paid for us. And so today I'd just like to share from the book of Colossians. And I'll be reading from several passages there this morning. But so as we know, the book of Colossians, of course, written by the Apostle Paul. And probably the theme of this epistle is all about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, in this letter here, he was responding to a request from a concerned fellow believer by the name of Epaphras, who sought out Paul to deal with the false teaching that had spread throughout the church of Colossae. And none of us want to see the word of God being distorted, do we? Or the word being watered down in any way. We always want to see the word of God upheld and brought to us in entirety. We cannot be watering the word down. We read the word, we speak the word as it's written. And if we do that, well, you know, we can be we're accountable to do that, aren't we? And it's not up to us to change the word in any shape or form in that way. But the apostle he responded to this call from Epaphras about the teaching that was going on in that place at that time. And just reading from chapter 2, just read from verse 6 there onwards. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And here's the warning: beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So we see there how the scripture tells us and upholds the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so encouraged there to do these things. But in this book of Colossians, it speaks about the fullness, the wisdom, the knowledge and the mystery and the fullness and the authority of Christ Jesus. About the knowledge and the teaching of Christ, about the wisdom, the power of Christ, and above all, about the mystery of Christ. And these key points that brought there, this early church, they had somehow let go, of the teaching that they had been given. They were letting it being eroded away, and they were misinterpreting the truth of the word that they had been given. And what happened there, they allowed error and mistruth to distort their faith and walk in Christ Jesus. And they started to return to their pagan ways and lifestyle. And in their disbelief, they allowed themselves to be misguided, and they were being robbed of their spiritual joy and inheritance. And none of us want that to happen in our lives, do we? We don't want to be, number one, we don't want to lose our joy, our spiritual joy. We don't want to be robbed of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus and what all those things have given us. We just don't want to have that happen to us. And as we heard last week, Pastor Frank Weber, I'm sure Frank would have put it this way, they were losing their what?
Place.
Yes, can't put it or say it like Frank did. Did you all enjoy Pastor Frank last week? Yeah, he's a really great man of God, and he brings a great, powerful word, and he's such a precise and a wonderful expositor of the word, and he so speaks so fluently in that way. But he's a great man of God, and we take heed to what that man brought to us last week. But so we don't want to be losing our place, do we? And so I believe this is why it is so important for us as believers that we be grounded in our faith and walk in God, as the scripture in Ephesians puts it. It says there, and I just read a part in there, it also mentioned it. But in Ephesians, there it mentions there about that you being rooted and grounded in the love of God. And that's what all our Christian life is all about, our Christian walk. That as believers, you know, that we have a good, strong faith, don't we? That we're not going to be blown or shaken or moved. And we just want to be able to withstand the storms of life and the criticism of our beliefs that come upon us at times. When I'm moving around, I'm always looking for something to use as an illustration. And I reading this scripture the other day, and I was travelling up the farm there, and this scripture here that I just read about being rooted and grounded. And always on the way to the farm, Ross's farm, just go around a bed, and you look into a paddock, and there's one tree there. And it's always looked a good strong tree, a good leafy top on it, and it looked real good there. But I went up there Monday, and lo and behold, it was blown down. And I thought, oh, that's a shame, that poor tree, you know, got blown over. But what I assumed had happened there, you know, it had gathered during all this heavy rain that we had, and I'm sure that tree just was weighted down with all the rain and the strong winds come and just tore it over. And maybe with the drought, this tree hadn't been able to go down any further to get the moisture. And I feel its roots were coming back up to try and get something out of the atmosphere or whatever. But we just see there that, you know, when we're not rooted in the things of God, you know, that can happen in our lives, that we can fall over. You know, the weight of sin in our lives, there's a lot of people have sin in their life. They weighed down with guilt and you know, the things that happen in their life are just too too heavy for them to carry. And we see people fall by the wayside. But that's what I felt there when I seen that tree. It just reminded me of how fragile, you know, life can be. And, you know, that we can just fall in that way. But so this is why I feel... And what we see in this book of Colossians, how the apostle, he goes to great length, and also in the book of Ephesians the apostle goes to the great lengths to speak about the appreciation and the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that was always on the heart of Paul, you know, that we don't lose this precious gift, this great gift, and all of what it's all about. And so this Paul, he writes this letter to church at Colossae with great urgency. It was... Probably weighed heavy on his heart too, and he just wanted to dispel the things that were happening there, and to do that there. And in the book of Colossians, in verses 8 and 9 particularly there, it says there, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So the apostle there, he had an urgency about this, to speak that word, to reach out to this early church and encourage them to just stand strong in the things of God, and not to lose hope and faith. And so that was always the apostles' prayer to do that. And it was always Paul's prayer, you know, that the Holy Spirit would fill every believer. Amen? And I'm sure that's everyone's heart here this morning, that we be filled with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit in our lives, dwelling and living a life filled with Christ as our center, the focus of our life, and to do that. But that was the apostle's heart, you know, that the Holy Spirit's power fill every believer. And we want to be filled, don't we? We want to be filled and overflowing, that we can just pour out the everything that God has for us. And we don't want to be half full, do we? You can't be half empty, half full, whatever the saying is. But the saying is here, and it's in the scripture there, where the apostle says for us to have the Spirit to fill us. The Spirit's power to fill us, and for us most of all to use the Spirit in our lives, that we fully understand the manifold presence of God in our lives. Amen? And that's what the Lord wants. But that's the prime object there. And just read that in chapter 1, verses 9 onwards about the preeminence of Christ. This is what the apostle wanted them to really stand on, to really grasp hold of. And just reading here from chapter 1 and verse 9 onwards. And it says here, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray you and for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthily of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And so there we just see again that the apostle outlining there just what it means having that we may be filled there with all the goodness, that we might walk worthy and being a pleasure to the Lord. He speaks there about us being fruitful in every good work. We want to produce fruit. We want to do good works, and that is speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who we meet. And out of that, as we speak, we will see the fruit come if we're bold enough to do that. But the apostle says there that when this takes place and it's cemented in our hearts, unbelief will never get a hold, will it? If we can stand strong on the word, this word that's been planted within us, the word that's been given to us, this spirit that's been given us, when we embrace all that, when we have it cemented in our hearts, you know, the enemy can't get a foothold in, or we shouldn't allow him to even get a toenail in. But this is the encouragement the apostle Paul speaks about there, that to understand, that we fully understand this mystery and the manifold presence of Jesus Christ and the power of God in our lives. Amen? That's a grand object, isn't it? The grand object to do that, that we understand this manifold presence, and we do that. But there. And as I just said, that was this grand object that the apostle spoke about, to understand that, you know, it was pressing, it was an urgency in it, for not for the early churches, for us not to lose this the preeminence of Jesus Christ in our lives. And he spoke so much there, and he said there, that's the grand object about that. And I suppose today if I ask you what the grand object is, and it'll be all about what? Yeah. Also, I feel many would say it'd be about the grand final next week. But, today, you know, that's if I asked, went out in the street and I said, well, what's the grand object? Oh, the grand final next week. And the grand object for us is to understand this mystery, this power of God within our lives, to have it, to be, for that to be the manifold presence, and not the things of the world. But for that to happen, you know, when that happens in our life, this is our testimony, isn't it? Our testimony, and it's your testimony, it's mine, you know. This is something that we can truly boast about, can't we? You know, because, you know, God is supreme in our lives, and he has all authority in our lives, and he is Lord of our lives. And so, you know, we can boast about that. We can say with pride and joy that, you know, that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And, you know, I just want to serve God. I love to serve God. All that sort of thing, you know. So it's our right, you know. That can't be taken away, can it? The joy of the Lord is my strength, and that's yours, it's mine, and no one can take that away, no matter what. There is when we just stand and being rooted and grounded in our faith and in our walk in God. Amen? And so we just need to be, that's our testimony. We use that to lead people to come to Jesus, don't we? We speak of what Christ has done in my life, what Christ has done in others' lives, and that's our encouragement to people, to those who don't know Jesus Christ, you know. And so that's our testimony we can live, and most of all that we can share with others, that they might come to know Jesus. And so to have the truth and fullness of Christ complete in our lives, and this is so something that Paul just so desperately wanted to convey to these early believers. to not to let go of this precious truth, to maintain it, this, and to alert them to the dangers of just going back to the pagan ways. I'm sure none of us here today want to go back, do we? I think it was mentioned this morning, you know, it's about going forward in the things of God, and that's the life we want to live. We want to go forward, we want to grow, and just get stronger in the strength and the power and presence of God, don't we, in every way. And so this is what the apostle was just wanting to convey to these, to maintain them and to alert them to the dangers of returning to their pagan ways. He wanted to rebuke heresy and all this false teaching. He wanted to encourage them and to express personal interest in believers. And that's something we all need to do, that we are interested in one another. You know, where sometimes people talk and I say, oh yeah, that's good, but it's not really being interested. We need to say, well, what's that all about? You need to go that little bit further. We need to be interested in one another and share one another's lives. But he just wanted to inspire them, I suppose, to promote mutual love and harmony. And this is what the Christian life is all about, isn't it? That we walk in those ways, that we do not only promote it, but we live it in our own lives. And I suppose we could say this book of Colossians is very much the same to the book of Ephesians. Very similar things, similar lines. That there the apostle had the right to the churches there to encourage them. But I feel in this book of Colossians, it just invites us so much to explore all the avenues, all the things that God has available to us. And most of all, that we heed the advice that is given to us in this book, and it's outlined for there. It's there for an example, isn't it? If something's there, often it says, therefore, such and such. Well, the word's therefore, it's there for a reason, isn't it? That, you know, we heed what God says, that it's there for an example to us. But I just feel in this book of, in the book of Colossians, it teaches us so much how to grow in godliness, doesn't it? When we just look at the mystery and the deity of Lord and our Lord and Saviour. And I suppose, you know, for us to grow, you know, we often speak about relationships, don't we? But relationships often prove to be our a way in which our godliness is tested. I'm sure we can all testify to that, you know, that different ways relationships can bring out many different things. But in our relationship, we're always challenged, aren't we? We're challenged to bring the life and character of Christ into the way of how we relate to others. You know, it has to come out. If we say, you know, I'm a believer, well, we have to most of all live that life, and we have to display it. And when we relate to other Christians, how do they know we are Christians? By our love. We used to sing that song, didn't we? A lot once, that, you know, they'll know we're Christians by our love. And sometimes that doesn't happen, does it? But we just have to, in our walk, we just have to continually draw on the power of God, don't we? Because in ourselves, in our own weakness, we're just not strong enough. And we just need the power of God so much in our lives to be the people that God wants us to be. We were transformed. We became new creations, didn't we? And so in our walk, we just need to be continually renewed, continually strengthened. And we do that by reaching out daily, don't we? For a daily infilling of his power and spirit to keep us afloat. And we see that God continually renews us to life. Amen? He continually renews us to life, to live and love in a manner worthy of our calling. And I suppose that's the essence of my message this morning, that we live a life worthy of our calling because of what Christ Jesus done for us on the cross. So I feel, you know, if we're not living the life, you know, this is where we fail so often, don't we? We don't always measure up, and often we slip up. We let our guard down and we blow our testimony so easy. It's so easy to happen. One word can just kill your whole testimony, can't it, if it's spoken in the wrong way. We just need to continually grow. And as I mentioned, we do that by living a life worthy of the Lord. Jesus is seen to be worthy. Amen? Jesus is seen to be worthy. And many, many scriptures refer to the worthiness many times and in many ways. And we are always encouraged to be productive in doing good and grow in the understanding of God and His Word. And Scripture tells us there to throw off the old lifestyle. And we've done that. But unfortunately, some people throw up their lifestyles, don't they? And they just spew it all out. And that's so sad when, you know, God has done so much in their life, yet they allow so much of the old stuff to keep coming out, and it just comes out in a manner that's not really worthy of what Jesus Christ died for. Amen? So we just need to be cautious there. We are encouraged to be productive in doing good and to grow in our understanding of God so much. You know, it's scripture there in this book here. It speaks there and it says, refuse to be a part. Refuse to be a part of ungodly things. But refuse to be a part of immorality. And also encourage us that we are not to be harsh in our relationships. And that's something else, you know. It's so easy to say the wrong thing, isn't it? So easy to say the wrong thing. But we are encouraged not to be harsh. It says here about aligning your emotions and your passions with the character of God, because we can become so ungodly, can't we, when we don't do that. Put on the new you, and we're asked to imitate Christ, aren't we? It says there to put on love, to display it. It says about being tender, merciful, humble, patient in all relationships. These are the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of our ministry. And above all, it says to be thankful in all things. And so we are asked to do that. But another great thing is this: it says, let the peace of Christ control your thoughts and your emotions. Because if we don't, let Christ control us, and we're going to end up on that well-worn rocky road, aren't we, when we don't just allow Christ to be the center of everything we do. We need to cultivate our lives and cultivate dynamic devotion in our personal lives. We just need to increase our spiritual DNA, don't we? That has to be deepened, has to grow more. And that can only come from, you know, spending time with the Lord. It's not going to come by any other way. You know, we've got to spend time with God, haven't we? And really have the heart and the power and the presence of God in our lives every day, every moment. And we do that by reading the Word. It tells us to commit time for God. We've got to make time for God, haven't we? We make time for everything else. We need to make time for God. We're encouraged to study the Word. It says to think about it, to memorize it, to believe and live the Word so that it becomes part of what? Part of who we are, part of who you are. You know, we've got to live that Christ-like and have a Christ-like character within us. And as I said, cultivation is a successful dynamic. And Scripture talks about the weeds and the tares. We have to get rid of the weeds and tares in our lives, the snares that hold us back, you know. We're never going to grow with all these things around us, aren't we? And we know that any good farmer or a gardener will say, get rid of the weeds out of your garden. Because the plants, every other thing, it can't compete with weeds. The weeds are weeds, and they're good for cattle to eat or sheep to eat or something, but we don't eat them, do we? To cultivate, you know, you've got to get rid of these things that harm us in our lives, all the things that hold us back, all the things that harm us, many, many things. And, you know, we've got to get rid of them things. If we're going to grow in God, if we're going to grow in Christ, well, get rid of it. Don't go back to the old ways. And let the weeds in our life take over, you know. And sadly, you know, a lot of people just allow that to happen. The weeds, the tares, the snares, and they get weighted and torn down by that. And like that tree that topple over, you know, that's how some people will fall, when they just allow the things of the world just to drown them, to take over their lives, and they just can't bear the weight of it. But So the expectation in the Word of God is that, you know, we are to pursue holiness, aren't we? We're always encouraged to look ahead to the things of God, that hope that we have, because Jesus Christ is completely, he has completely secured our salvation, and him we lack what? Nothing, do we? We don't lack in the things of God. When we live holy, we live holy lives, not to gain righteousness, because God has already made us righteous. And as the scripture I wrote, read it out before, you know the way, walk ye in it. And that's the encouragement for every person here today, every one of us there. We've all heard the word. There's not a person here today that I can see that hasn't heard the word before, who doesn't know the word. And as it says, as you know, as you've heard, absorb it, live it, walk it, and do that. We're encouraged to hold on confidently in faith to the hope of the gospel, aren't we? You know, we can get negative about many things, but we all always have that hope that today, tomorrow's another day. We can go do something to correct what we done yesterday, can't we? We can always have that ability to make things right and to do something different and to ask for forgiveness to whatever we've done. You know, we're encouraged to hold on confidently, have that confidence in the things of God and the hope of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. No. And also, it encourages us, you know, not to embrace spiritual experiences that are contrary to the gospel. You know, if some of our experiences don't line up with the things of God, well, it's not really spiritual, is it? It's not God working in your life. And a lot of people tend to turn some of these experiences around that way. But so this is what the apostle was speaking about, and this is what we need to do. We have to defend Christ's supremacy. Not that God needs defending, but, you know, as for us as believers, you know, we will be asked at some time, you know, to defend our faith, to defend our belief, what we believe and everything else. And one day we're going to have to rise up and say that. But here, the word of God was being spoken about, against in this book here. And so the apostle was set about to defend that, because Christ's supremacy was being challenged, his sufficiency was being challenged, and there was philosophy was being spoken about, and they had to defend the legalism that was coming up within the church, and there was also angel worship and negativity, and The apostle was about to destroy that false teaching, but most of all, he was encouraging the people there about your rightful place in the kingdom of God. Amen. As we said earlier, you know, about our place. We heard a lot about that last week. We don't want to lose our place in the kingdom of God. And so we just need to focus our thoughts and our attention on the things of God that are important to God, aren't they? We have to understand that when Jesus died, he died for our what? For our sinful nature. And we don't want to try and revive that old life, because that's dead forever, isn't it? It's been dead and buried and crucified in that way. So your life, our lives, are now hidden with Christ in God. Amen? So in our whole Christian walk, we have to walk the walk of faith, not talk it. That's easy. But when we have to really get down and walk step by step every day and say today, Lord, help me today. Just remind me of that song that Slim Dusty sang, you know, Lord, help me today to take one step at a time. Even then, you know, but, you know, that's what it's all about in our walk with Christ, with Jesus, you know, to say, Lord, today I need your help. Today I'm feeling lousy. Help me. That's what we need to do. And yet we often think, oh, why, that's selfish, you know, I can't ask God for that. But we can. God wants us to ask of him, to inquire of him, to help us. And so that's why it's good for us to reach out, you know, and say, Lord, help me today, to take one step at a time. So there, we do that. Believe everything that the gospel of Jesus Christ has for us. Believe in Jesus, that he's the exact representation of the invisible God. Jesus is. Believe in him that all things are possible, and by whom all things were created. In him all things are held together and sustained by his great power. And we understand that Jesus has preeminence in all things. He is the head of the body, which is the church, and that he rose from the dead first, that what we might follow him in the resurrected life. That's what God wants of every one of us, that at the end of the day we can say, well, I'm going to be with the Lord, and I know he's got a great future for me. And to see that Christ is a reconciler of all things. Through his blood he made peace, so that we are no longer separated from God or one another. It's Christ who brings us together. It's Christ who keeps us together. And what we see in the Jesus, in the fullness and the Godhead abides in bodily form, and we have life and forgiveness in and through his divine power. All authority and power has been given. Amen. And all demonic forces have been defeated. And so we just need to appreciate, to see that there. And just as I come to a close, like to read a little, another portion of scripture from chapter 4, the book of Colossians again. Chapter 4, verses 2 down to 5, 6 there. It's speaking here about Christian grace. And like I said, you know, we have to so much display Christian grace. We have to live so much Christian grace. And so the Apostle Paul here, he speaks about it in verse 2 of chapter 4. Continually, earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us a door for the word to speak, and the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak walk in wisdom toward those who are outside by redeeming the time. And that's, again, it's an encouragement as the Apostle Paul speaks there. He speaks about persevering in prayer. Amen. Remember, prayer overcomes everything, doesn't it? Prayer avails so much, brings so much, does so much. So we have to do that. He says continually, earnestly, not just haphazardly, but earnestly in prayer. Secondly, he says, live a lifestyle of discreet behaviour and diligent service. We need to be doing that. Good behaviour. Be diligent in all we do, in your service to one another, in your service to God, in service to the church. Above all, using winsome and wholesome speech. He says that there, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. We need to speak well about the things of God. At all times, cling to the hope of and the promise that the lordship and supremacy and sufficient of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul says there, as I just mentioned, about walking in wisdom toward those who are outside. That's important, isn't it? You know, that we be wise in speaking to those outside, that we just don't go up to someone and speak a whole lot of nonsense that means nothing, that is way above the head, and they're probably looking at us and say, where do you come from? You know, we want, as it says there, about for those who don't know Christ, this is what Paul's saying there, as I ought to speak. And we need to be able to speak well. We need to have a good testimony, a precise testimony. Don't babble on for hours about something when you could say it in 10 or a dozen words, you know. And there, that Jesus Christ touched my life and I now live because of what Christ done. And I believe in him, you know. We need to be positive and powerful. But so I'll just close there today, but I encourage you to read this book, you know, because it just speaks so much about, you know, who the person of Jesus Christ is, what it means to have Jesus Christ in your life, and the importance of not allowing ourselves to go back, to dwell back in the past life and of the former things, but to live in the present, to just keep seeking God and to grow into him every day, daily, depend upon him, call upon his name, and to just to be excited about the joy of having Jesus Christ in your life. Father God, again, we just bless you. We thank you, Father God. Lord, that you have touched our lives. We just thank you so much, Lord, that for what your word tells us, what your word shows us, how your word guides us and leads us to the life that we are asked to lead, that we are to be always looking to the challenge of the hope of what the gospel will bring, of what the gospel of Jesus Christ will do for us, but above all, what Jesus Christ the Lord has done and will do in our lives, in every day, every moment. So we bless you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.